wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this, well, it's Saturday morning, Christmas morning, December 25th, 2021. Got Brother Zach with us. Good morning, Zach. Thanks for joining.
Good morning, everybody out there, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and you know, if that's offensive to you, then you're just going to have to swallow it and say, well, okay, that's how it is. We understand this is the day that may not be the actual birthday, but it's the day that the world looks at, and at least some, and recognizes and celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. One of the, you know, time itself, truly, until this, at least until this wayward generation, time itself, you know, is reckoned from the birth of Christ. Everything has been B.C. Now you have it, I think it's changed a lot. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit. You know, before the Christian era and after, and of course A.D. after the death, I think, after Domini, whatever. I don't speak Latin, but I think it's something like that. But thought we might do that. We might read a little bit in Matthew and Luke this morning of that. I want to thank Zach for joining me this morning. It is a snowy day this morning. We got about 3 inches of snow last night at the Radio Ranch. When we turned in, it was clear, but it sure came in out the mountains, but we need it. We need it. We will have the phone lines open this morning. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles open, we'd be glad to say good morning to you. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer. And Heavenly Father, we come to you on this day, Lord, this day of life that you give us, and we thank you for this day of life. Thank you for all of your blessings, for you making a way, knowing from the beginning of time what would need to be done to take care of this creation that you created. And we thank you that you are a loving Heavenly Father, and that as your children, we don't have things to worry about, Lord. We can cast our cares upon you because you have it taken care of. And so we thank you for that. Help us to have that attitude. Father, we thank you that and pray that all across this land, that Lord, that there is a revival. Let it start today, Lord, or let it have already been started. But a revival of a returning to you. Father, as the many gather around their Christmas tree this morning and maybe are opening gifts, that let your Holy Spirit flow upon your people, Lord. Let them remember the gifts that the wise men brought to the newborn, the baby in the manger, and that the gifts that they brought were gifts for a prophet, priest, and king, because they knew, because they were wise. And so let that flow across your land this day, O Lord. Then, and let your people remember not only the great birth of our King, of our Savior, but the whole story of Jesus Christ. His birth, but also his death and his burial and his resurrection, to grant to us the life and life abundant. Guide and direct Brother Zach and I, and help us to, Lord, we look forward to an encouraging morning, and help us to encourage your people to love and good deeds, and Lord, to glorify you. Thank you for this moisture. We pray for safety for those that might be out traveling, and let all that we think, say, and do glorify you. And we pray this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this December morning, and 307-745-5913. I do want to take a second to remind you that we do have the 2022 Bible reading plan put together. We'll work on getting it emailed out to everybody who have an email list that we have your email address. We'll work on that this week. But we did get it printed, got it mailed out. Well, I think we got it out to the people that receive our DVD church, and working on getting several hundred more mailed this next week, and have certainly taken individual orders. So if you would like, it's just a little newsletter size, not quite as big as the newsletter, but it's a Bible reading plan, a tool to help you, maybe a reminder. Sometimes we all need reminders. And it's broke up this year in categories. So you'll spend, if you'll use this Bible reading plan, you'll spend about a week at a time, from Sunday to Saturday, in a certain area. Start with the epistles, then the law, history, psalms, poetry, prophecy, and the Gospels, and then back the same way, the Epistles and Law. So a week in Romans, a week in Genesis, a week in Joshua and Judges, a week in Psalms, and that type. So it's a little different. But I encourage you, hopefully, you know, maybe you've read your Bible before, but maybe not this way. And so the Bible is a living word. It is the instructions that we have. You know, if you were an electrician, and you know you're studying to be a journeyman, and you know you had a big test coming up, you know, the pass-fail test, and you needed to pass it, and you had a book that basically had the answers and instructions and what to do and what not to do in it, my guess is you would spend a little time in that book if you cared about the outcome, and so I encourage you. I'm going to do my best. I'll let you know. I'm going to do my best to follow the Bible reading plan to highlight daily as I get it read. And that's a nice thing about it on here. If you miss a day or two, it's not that hard to get caught up. or even if you read and the story gets interesting and you get a maybe a day or two ahead, just mark it with your highlighter. But I encourage you, and it's a tool to help you. It's like, if you can't get out and walk, maybe you can get a Strider or a treadmill or something, if that's what you need, to help you meet your goals. And that's what this Bible reading plan is. Pastor thought it up years and years ago that, hey, this would be something good to do. And so we hope it is an encouragement to you. We put it together generically. Don't really want to take time into that, but there's no reference to the ministry in it. And so it is, you can order a dozen of them and pass them out to your friends and encourage them. If you have a Bible study going, I suggest you do that. You know, we'll print more if we use them all up. But you can send it, you can pass it out. It's a Bible reading plan. Read the Word. So we do want to encourage you to do that. We do. Well, Brother Zach, again, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And you have somewhere you might want to start off this morning, or I can start in Luke if you're there in Matthew. Either way.
I'm here in Matthew. Today is the day that most quote-unquote Christians recognize the birth of Jesus Christ. We all know here that, if we're listening to this today, we all know the Israel truth here, and we all know who Jesus was sent for. But still, as Pastor Peters used to say, at least they recognize Jesus. At least they kind of give him a nod. And we know, like, everything's been, paganized with Saint Nicholas and Santa Claus, and they've turned it into, this big thing where all of the, the stores can get into the black, we got the Black Friday thing there after Thanksgiving, and but at least you drive by and you see the little I don't know what you want to call it, they got the statues of Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger and the wise men, and yes. at least they're pointing that way, and I understand that, Jesus, but, chances are he wasn't born on, I don't know his exact birthday. And it's kind of irrelevant now because he's the king. And, but let's just, we know who Jesus was sent for. So, and we know that Jesus has enemies. And so I was, let's just go over Matthew 2 here a little bit. And I'm just going to read. Now, after Jesus was born, I'm starting right out in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and I'll make it quick, I promise, was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Now, we know here on this ministry, with this statement right here, is, it can only possibly be, like, when he says Jews, for one, it's a geographical location of where someone was born. Two, if they're referring to the covenant seed of Abraham, it can only be a remnant from the tribes of Benjamin and the tribes of Judah. So, it's very specific, and I'm not going to get into that because I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Why was all of Jerusalem with him? Because they realized the possibility of a political shakeup. That's why. That's it. There's a lot of people at that time that had their fortunes and their their property and everything set up. They had their 401ks and their social securities and all that other stuff set up in this system, and they understood it was a political system. So, verse 4, gathering together with all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler. He will shepherd my people Israel. And that's from the prophet right there, and he's the shepherd Israel, plain and simple. Then Herod secretly called the Magi to determine the exact time the star appeared, and he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I may too come and worship him. Verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until they came and stood over the place where the child was. Then they saw the star rejoicing exceedingly in great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell on the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left, and they left for their own country by another way. So these Magi were clearly Israelites, and God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod because of the evil intent. And we all know what happened. Herod sent in there, and he killed every boy in that area from, I think it was 3 years and down. But the point of what I'm bringing up is this. There's a reason, and Pastor Peters have made this point before. Herod was an Edomite, and what did he do to determine the location and birth time and to order his men the age of children to be killed? What did he do? He went and he read the scriptures. He had people read the scriptures for him to determine where it was and when.
Amen.
Now, if our enemy believes the Bible, if our enemy believes the writings of the Old Testament and the Bible as strongly as Herod did, it just goes to show what could happen if we believed our Bibles just as much.
Amen.
He believes it more than most Christians.
Amen.
And he was scared of the outcome of this Son of God being born. That's the power that we have. And we just have to learn to use it and not be afraid. That's my opening monologue.
There you go. You know, we've got I found it online. I didn't come up with it. I looked it over a little bit, but it's true. I've seen it in the past. But a list of, I think it's 351 prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ fulfilled. And I think there's about 100 of them that relate to his birth. And I've got the list. Be glad to send it to you. I can email it to you, folks. I'd be glad to print it out and send it to you if you want. But again, it's a tool. It's something that's kind of neat to have when you see the or when you're again reminded of just who and what Jesus is. I have another little front and back page that is just some of, I think there's 34 I've got listed here, just some of the miracles that Jesus performed during his time on earth. You know, his healing, his raising the ruler's daughter from the dead, cleansing the lepers, feeding the 4,000, opening the eyes of the blind man. And it's put together. It's just a list of 34. And so, you know, if you'd like these things, just let us know, Remnant. We offer them from time to time. You know, it is, again, to be a help to you, to encourage you. When you read through Psalms, you know, if you just read Psalms 91, when David talks about my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, you know, that's not just a blind trust. It's not. It is, you know, we serve a God that we can trust because he is true. He is truthful. He is faithful. His word has come true. And, you know, it may not be politically correct today, but it wasn't politically correct in the days of Jesus' birth either. It was a tough time. It was the darkest of times. And I think that Zach, you mentioned pastors' teachings and stuff. I can remember him alluding to that, you know, it was in the darkest time that God sent his light into the world. And so that is, you know, in Luke 2, you can read of that as well. In Luke 2, starting in verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And that lets you know as well. It probably wasn't, you know. If their weather's anything like ours, you hope the flock is just fed up and in a barn somewhere. Because right now, looking out the window, the snow's still coming sideways. And so this time of the year is a little rough. You know, 3 months earlier in the fall, it would probably be a little closer time, but regardless. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And then the angels left, and the shepherds said, "Hey, let's go down and see if this is really the way it was, if this is really going on." And they did. And so we do encourage you. You can take a look. Luke 2, it is encouraging. And even that verse, you know, the more you read this living word, it does not change. But our understanding changes. We're told to grow in the grace and knowledge, to come to an understanding, right? We're given the precept, and we know that when we were a child, we thought as a child, and we spoke as a child, and we understood as a child. But as we've grown, hopefully that understanding grows a little bit. You know, take a look at verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Now there is another distinction, right? Another distinction of where that peace among men is going to be. "And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." I think that's another promise of God, that that, you know, he is a rewarder of those that do well. I think it's right along the lines of James, where it tells us to pray for one another so you may be healed. And I think these little, you know, these little tidbits, these are throughout his word for us to look at. You know, in the, I've got a New Living Translation by Tyndale, and Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors. Wow. To all whom God favors. Maybe there's some that he doesn't. But to those that he does, and that's who we're concentrating on, there's peace. There's peace.
You know, Richard, when you read stuff like that, like you just read right there, you know, there's peace with those that find favor with him. And, you know, what is that saying? And I kind of look at that like those who obey him and strive to please him. And I'm not saying everybody's got everything perfect. I'm not saying that, because like I just look at my own life and see how I react to some things sometimes. And you know, I'm not saying I'm the most perfect guy. But to those that please him and that strive and fear him, and you know, that's where you will find peace.
Yes.
And you take a look around. And you don't have to go very far, and, you know, it's not very peaceful out there. I was just talking with a guy earlier this week, and his parents live in the Upper Peninsula, and I live in the Lower Peninsula, and he was talking about they came down and they did their Christmas party, and the ones that came down, they're retired. And they're union people. They were union guys, and or the old man was, and they started talking about the vaccine, and there was no peace at that Christmas party because it got heated, and there's different views, and they were for it and he wasn't, and so there's. You see this no common ground between people, and there's really not a lot of peace, even inside people's families. And what is it? It's like, well, you're either right or left. And, you know, I would say most people that are right, they're the ones that care more about, I'll put it this way, they have a tendency to listen more to the law that is written in their heart. If you look at who's showing up at the rallies and stuff like that, I would say they're Israelites for the most part. And, you know, there's that lack of peace. And, you know, on the left side, they're mad if you don't think the way that they think.
Yes.
They're mad. And, you know, one of the great things about this country is you have the opportunity to think. Now, I'm not going to agree with everything that Richard said. But you know what? I'm not going to agree with everything that Jason or John or... But you know what? We're brothers in Christ, and we have the common ground that our views should be dictated from what the Bible says.
Yes.
And so, I'm not... And that being said, we have the right to be able to think on our own, but as long as we all keep going back to the Bible, we'll be safe and we'll continue to be friends. If we do not, then we will not. And therefore, that is, you know, that's what this country was founded on.
Amen to that.
Public Law 97-280 is founded on the Bible, which is the rock of what Andrew Jackson said. And if we do not, you get what's going on in this country. And we don't have to, okay, we can attack a job differently. There's more than one way to skin a cat, whether you're baling hay or taking down a tree or whatever the same thing is. But when it comes to push comes to shove, the moral compass, and we have a division. And, you know, people are inside their own families and they are being divided. I was in another situation. One person came, flew in for California, and she said, for Thanksgiving, and she said, well, I'll just go rent a cabin because I'm not going to be around anybody that's unvaccinated. Like, you know, well, we all had it. You know, I just went through it. I'm still here. But that was it. Well, looking down, like, I mean, it's crazy out there. You have any thoughts on that, Richard?
I think it is crazy out there. I would have to agree with you. And I think more and more people are seeing that. And I think you highlighted on a fundamental shift that is happening in this nation, is that you have almost a generation or a group of people, I'll put it that way, that feel what you've said, you know, that, hey, if you don't agree with them, then one, you're wrong, and two, you know, the way they look at it is that it's almost like you're going to forfeit your rights. You have no rights, you know. We've seen that with healthcare. If you decide not to get vaccinated, you can't. Here in Laramie, there's dentists that won't see you. They will not clean your teeth. They won't fix your teeth if you haven't been fully vaccinated. And so we've seen a shift from life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's different for each of us. But like you said, this nation was built on that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, how was it Superman used to put it? Truth, justice, and the American way. That was, of course, the Superman of the 50s in the black and whites, and not today's. But that's how it was. But it was all understood that it was, like you said, within the parameters of the laws of God. There used to be a saying that I may disagree with you, but I'll fight to my last breath to give you the right to say what I disagree with. You know, we used to be thankful and be. We understood that we could, that we would disagree, that we would have differences of opinions. Like you said, maybe in how you cut down a tree, maybe in how you bale hay, maybe in how you work and how you raise your family and those things. But they were all within the parameters of the foundation of this nation, which is the Word of God. And I think I can break it down closer than that, or simpler than that. That the foundation is on the two commandments that God put out, love, or that Jesus put out, love God, and love your neighbor. And everything else hinged on that. And I think that it does. But we've seen a shift away from that, because that's not taught. It's not sought. There's too many other things going on, but the Word tells us you want riches, honor, and life. Is that what you want? If that's what you want, there's a reward that brings that, you know. Somebody loses a dog and puts up a $10 reward if found, and you find the dog and return it, you get the reward. Well, if you want riches and honor in life, there's a reward that leads to that as well. Proverbs 22:4 tells us that the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord, or reverence, is how my reference Bible talks about that. Fear of the Lord, that would work as well. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And so, that is truth. You know, God is a rewarder of those that seek Him. Doesn't have to be, you mentioned it earlier, Zach, it doesn't have to be that we reach perfection. No, we're not going to reach perfection. Not at all. But when we try, when we work towards that goal, when we seek Him, there are rewards, and that peace is a huge part of that. Well, Zach, the phone lines are ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, we were listening to you this morning. Some Saturdays you missed it. Sheila was just saying, you were talking about you can't see these doctors and dentists and stuff without being vaccinated. Sheila says, she's surprised they don't ask what what God do you serve? I sent you a CD. Did you get that? Called What Hill Are You Willing to Die On?
I haven't seen it yet, but it will probably get here to my office eventually, Warren.
It's a real good CD from this Baptist minister. I know which hill I'm willing to die on. And if you like it, I thought it'd be nice to share it with the random. And I know Pastor Peters would have enjoyed it. So, well, have a Merry Christmas. We're going to be working on our Christmas dinner and stuff. And God bless you.
All right, Warren. God bless. Have a great day. Well, Remnant, we are here this December morning. Don't know if we're going to get a sunrise or not. I guess we will. Just a lot of clouds to the east. And just
you know, you know, Richard, you were talking about, you know, dentists that won't work on you if you haven't been vaccinated. And that's in Laramie. And I'm going to kind of assume, you know, on the political, I don't know how many dentists are in Laramie, but I would think in that area, I've been in that town several times, you know, that might not be the best financial move for those guys, which, you know, that's fine. If that's the move you want to do, that's fine. There's a very good probability that you might go broke because of it. I've never seen anybody around here where I live that are taking that stance. If they do, then they're not going to get any of my money.
Sure.
Or my labor.
Sure.
And which is fine. If that's what you want to do, you go right ahead and do that.
Yes.
It tells me where you stand on a lot of things, and that's okay. Now, if you're an Israelite, I hope you repent. If you're not an Israelite and you're an Edomite, I hope you go broke. And, you know, that's up to God. You know, I'm not going to put much more thought in it, but if that's what you want to do, you know, here in my state, the amount of pushback that has come back on mandatory vaccines with the 100-plus employees,
right?
Like, they're not doing it, you know? They're just not doing it because they'll lose everybody. They will go broke, and the people that own those businesses understand that. And I'm glad there's pushback. I really am. And, you know, and I know the news media, you know, CNN and NBC and, you know, even Fox, you know, they're even pushing it a little bit from what I understand. You know, they're not doing so good financially from what I hear. So good. Go down. Go broke. I hope you go broke. So, you know.
Yeah, we're seeing a change. You are. And again, we're talking about an awakening and people waking up, and people are realizing that it's not about the health of the people. It's just not. It's about control. And we're thankful that some people have woken up to that, that they have. And just so you know, we just go over to Cheyenne. You know, that should not even come up. It shouldn't. But see, you have some people that think that that they should control what you do. You know, what, like Warren said, what God do you serve? What God do you serve? And so we're seeing people, you know, that are aware of these things, that are making better decisions instead of just, you know, blindly going about their daily life. And that's a good thing. It is. It is a good thing.
You know, I sit there and I think about all the stuff that you see going on in the news and this president making mandates like that. He is not a doctor. As far as I know, he holds zero medical license on any level, whether it's a MD, a nurse.
Yeah, he's a lifetime politician. He's a lifetime politician suffering from dementia.
Or even a medical first responders. They know that he has zero medical licenses. How is he to be able to dictate a medical practice?
Well, and he doesn't have it medically, Zach, and he doesn't have it politically. There's nowhere that in our Constitution or Bill of Rights or anywhere in our governing documents that give him the right authority or power to do that. But you know how it is. It's almost like children. They will get away with everything they can until you stop them. Until you tell them no. You know, if you've got a teenager and you just let them go, they'll go. They'll go.
Yep.
And if they're supposed to be home by 10 and they get home at 10:30 and you just let it go, pretty soon it'll be 11. And then pretty soon it'll be 11:30. Pretty soon it'll be 12. If you just let it go, they will push that. Now, they don't really have the right or the authority or the... And it's not good for them to do that. But if you don't stop, if you don't say, wait a minute, no, this is not how it's going to be, it will continue down, and that's a bad slope to be on. And it is that way with these mandates. You know, another name for that is a recommendation. You know, it's not a law.
Yeah.
It's not a law. But see, those things aren't taught anymore. Those things aren't taught. You know, if you contrast it with our previous president, if our previous president had have done that, you would be hearing that. You would have heard that from everybody and their brother about, well, there's no authority for that, and that's really just a recommendation, a strong suggestion, you know, to do these things. But there's no constitutional law to back that up, to make it a requirement and make it a... You know, you would hear all that stuff, but you know, the media and the left are in bed together, and their desire is to destroy the Christian American way of life. You know, that's what Build Back Better is. It is, you know, you destroy Christian America and build it back better for them. That's the plan. That's the plan.
Let's just say you go to the dentist and you have to have a tooth pulled. What's the first thing they have you do? They have you sign consent for to let them do that procedure. You're the boss. You are the boss. It's that simple, because you're paying the bill.
Yes.
And you are giving them the permission. And that is the legal way to do stuff. And that's the way it should be. But, sure. I mean, it's just crazy, you know? I mean, I don't know. I see all this stuff, and I just think of in Hosea, my people die for a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's because you don't know how the system works. Even, and I'm not saying that I'm for it, the system that's in place now. Don't get me wrong. But that doesn't give you any right to be a knucklehead and not know anything of how it works, you know?
That's right.
And so I lost my train of thought there, but I mean, you should know how things work, so that way you're not a victim, you know? And, you know, you're a victim because you don't know. You're not ready. It's no different than if you're going to be you're going to be a police officer. What do? Well, you should be out there practicing all the defensive moves that you should be. You should be practicing how to handle your weapon. You should be practicing all this stuff. So that way, when the time comes, you should know all your laws. And when the time comes, like, let's just say in the unfortunate situation, you do got to pull your sidearm. It's muscle memory. I mean, you just know that it works, you know. And it should be the same way with whether you're getting a vaccine or a tooth pulled or whatever. I love those Howard Freeman sermons that that the ministry plays sometimes. I mean, it gives you an understanding, not of how things work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you know what Howard say? He's like, well, if I crash into somebody's house, he's like, I don't have a problem. And if I'm accused of crashing into somebody's house, I still don't have a problem. But when the person presents the evidence, now I have a problem, you know? That's how that stuff's supposed to work.
And it has been lost in our society that is used to 30-second sound clips and, you know, TikToks and just blast. Here it is. Boom, boom. Here it is. Yep. Just one thing after another. No depth. You know, no understanding behind it. And it comes back to what you said earlier. The enemy, like Herod, they believe the word. They know where truth is, and they believe the word more so than most Christians. The Antichrist does. They do, and they use it against us. But people are waking up, and as we've said it before, there in Psalms we read, our God sits in the heavens and laughs.
Yep.
He laughs at these schemes of the evil one and the plans that they make. Well, Zach, you have a family day planned. You got I know your family. Your children are still young. They're not. You know, when they grow up, they grow up and they move on. They get spouses, and then there's more families involved, and holidays get shared. But it's good when you can get them back. Got a few of the boys back. Got George's cowboying out in Nevada. Got to pick him up. He got an early flight yesterday, so I got to pick him up. He's back, and it's always good when the family can get back together. You guys are all together today, I assume.
Oh yeah, everybody's here, and it's good to. I've been thinking the last few months that I've been watching my children grow, and I just realized, like, it all of a sudden just hit me, you know. Yeah, I better really start enjoying the time more that I have, because, you know, my old man told me, my dad, he's like they'll be gone before you know it, and doggone, you know, I mean, it's true. I can see that starting to happen. But on the flip side to that, you know, I was really, one of the things, I was really happy to see how my oldest son conducted himself a couple of days ago and his thought process. And he had a little job and one of his tools broke and he couldn't finish the job that this lady hired him to do. And he was frustrated because now all of a sudden he realized he has to go back and he's got to set up all this stuff, and he realized it was costing him. And you know, I just sat back and I was like, you know what, I was proud of him, because you know, he recognized all that stuff. And so it makes me hopeful for the future generations and stuff like that, that there are some people out there that are, you know, taking their job seriously as being parents and stuff like that. And, you know, because that's what it's about. You got to train up your child in the way he should go. And I'm not just saying, it's not just the scriptures. You got to teach him how to work and fend for himself and survive in this world. And, you know, sometimes you see your kids acting and handling stuff in a way, they'll show you that you have a lot of work in certain areas, and if you're willing to pay attention, and you know, train them youngins. Train them, you know.
Absolutely.
Train them to be good, honest people. So I guess that's my final thought. And that's what Jesus wants us to do.
It is.
You know, I don't want to raise a loser.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's right. Yep. It is. It is those, it's those instructions, you know, it's those instructions. And we're pointed and instructed to, again, there are no perfect parents, but to try, you know, you do your best, you try. Every time you do that, it's better. It is. When you try to be a better parent, when you try to maybe, you know, teach a better way, when you try to recognize an issue and address it. And that, you know, that works if you're a parent. It works if you are an employee somewhere. It works if you're a housewife, whatever. You know, we try. And reading His Word, you know, seeing the examples that have come before us, the opportunities that were presented to those of old. You know, I keep thinking of these Bible stories that we have that, you know, they're here for our learning. Maybe so we don't have to make those same mistakes, you know. Anyway. Well, Zach, thanks again. Sure appreciate it. Wrapping up this morning. I know you've got a son that's got a birthday today, too, don't you?
Yeah, he's officially a teenager right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So...
Nice.
Yeah, and
what a blessing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's something.
Yes.
So, I don't know. He's a good boy, though. So, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of all my kids.
Amen. And, well, happy birthday to him. Hope he has a great day. And
yeah, thank you. I'll let him know.
Yep, absolutely. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. And we hope you have a blessed day and a blessed weekend. And we're planning on live church tomorrow, and so we do want to invite you there. Looking at the forecast, it doesn't look like the snow is going to be too bad. I think the roads will still be open, so we should be able to get down, and so that's our plan. So we do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, and you can do that on your computer. We, you know, Pastor set this up to do live video streaming. You know, he's been gone from us 10 years now, and it was many years, so it had to be 16, 18 years ago. I think it was 05, maybe we started the first DVD churches and live streaming. And not to toot any horns, but, you know, even the big boys, the big churches, they weren't streaming live. They would record on their big 3/4-inch videotape and then run it down to the public broadcasting station for a replay, you know, a couple hours later. And Pastor just, I think it was a moving of the Holy Spirit, just let him know. And, you know, Pastor was not a computer kind of guy, but that, hey, we can, you know, can we just send this out live? And, of course, you know, you got to remember, too, this was the days before Facebook and TikTok and all the technology that you can do that with your phone now. Because Pastor Peters wanted to bless the people. He wanted to give them the opportunity to gather with like-minded Christians because he understood the nourishment that comes from that. The feeding of the soul that fulfills, that it does when you can, you know, because we are with who knows who all week long. You know, we're in the world. What a difference it makes when you can take, even if it's just a couple of hours, and gather. And so, you know, that's what started it. And so we still continue to live stream the services. So we encourage you to join us. Scriptures4America.org is the website. And starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, that's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and I think it's 6:30 in Alaska. That's pretty early out there. But we'll have a scriptural review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message and a live message, and that's our plan for tomorrow. And we'll give you the opportunity to partake of communion for us to, again, to remember. To remember, like hopefully most of the Christian world is doing today on this Christmas morning. But to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and the promises that He has for us. And so we hope you'll join us there. Again, Brother Zach, have a great day. And Remnant, you as well. And hopefully we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.